UWA-517, do you want to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind? Over.
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
Was there anybody above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago?
71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's American 1095. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Do we just call about the UFOs we saw?
Mm-hmm.
They're out there, taking airplanes.
And it is such. Bob, I swear to God, four calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty. Four calls on an unidentified flying object.
All right, take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com.
Hello everyone and welcome to the show wherever in the world you are listening from. We are joined tonight with our guest Monica from the state of Kentucky, sharing with us some UFO sightings she witnessed with other family members and a few of her many paranormal events in her life since she was a child, and a brief but strange encounter with one of the little people. But before we hear from Monica, we start off in Ontario, Canada, with Bub's witness submission. Bub's up next.
If you enjoy the show and you would like to help support the podcast on Patreon, you can do this for as little as $1 a month. Head on over to www.patreon.com/UFO Chronicles Podcast. You can also find a link in the description of this episode below. Any help is very much appreciated. Now, on with the show.
Hello, Nick. This is Bubs from London, Ontario, Canada. I just wanted to share with you a recollection of a sighting I had a few years back. I came across the practices of CE5, and I think it may have been through Dr. Stephen Greer, although these days I don't quite agree with what he's done and how he's going about his business, but anyway, that's another story. So I went outside, and I had a moment of silence, and I meditated, played some tones, and just tried to envision our solar system right down to our planet, to the continent of North America and Canada, and the city, eventually London, where I live. And I opened my eyes, and it was a clear summer night. Stars were out, and about a 45-degree angle in my vision to the south of me, I saw this bright light. It wasn't blinking. It was an orb, a perfectly round sphere of pure, brilliant light. And if I were to hold out my arm, and if I had a shirt button, that's how big in the sky it was. And I'm guessing it was about 700 to 1,000 foot ceiling. And it looked as if it was searching for something. Now, this thing was silent, and it had no blinking lights. It was just a pure orb of light, and it was there for at least a half a minute, and all the while coming towards me, going south to north in my direction. And once it got above me, and I'm looking at this thing, it faded away as it got dimmer and dimmer and dimmer right above me. At about 700 feet to 1,000 foot, it disappeared into nothing. I couldn't help but smile because I know what I saw I had never seen before. So my curiosity, I just wanted to be more thorough on what I saw. I checked the databases for the ISS at the time. It was like 11 at night, so it was somewhere in California. And other things like satellites, nothing was in the area at the time. So I don't know what I saw, but it seems to have appeared. And I don't know if it was to do with the CE5 that I had tried, but it was pretty extraordinary. And the only other thing I saw, I was working out in Fort McMurray a few years earlier. I saw a bright piercing light very quickly in the sky. And I was working in an oil field in an open mine. And when the light went away, it's as if someone had drawn a pencil, a mark, like a line of pencil mark in the sky. And I was looking at this dark line where the piercing light had appeared. And then it was gone. So I don't know what that was either, but it sure made me think. All my life I've been hearing from family and friends about red lights in the sky and objects in the sky. And, you know, I'm sure every family has tales and stories that are passed down. But yeah, that's mine. I'm a fan of the show, and keep up the good work. Love the content. Take care, Nick.
Welcome to the show, Monica.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming on today and sharing your experiences.
Thank you for having me, Nick.
Calling from Kentucky.
I am.
So you're going to be sharing several experiences with our listeners tonight, starting in 1994?
Yes.
Would you like to start there for us, please?
Sure. So it was probably late summer, early fall. It was already nighttime, and I was with my cousin and uncle, and we were leaving a house, and we stepped outside. I remember that night, it was the sky was dark, so there was no moon. Stars were out. Wasn't a cloud in the sky. So I walked outside and happened to look up, and I see in the distance these three black floating things coming towards us, and they were just kind of moving, and I think they were like changing shape a little bit. So we stood there and we watched them, and it got closer and closer, and then they kind of came over us, and we were just looking like, what is that? We couldn't figure it out. So we got in the car, and I was driving, and I remember as soon as we got in the car, I went into like this daze where I was behind the wheel, but there's no way I could have been driving. At some point, I looked up through the windshield to make sure that, you know, this object was still with us, and it was. So I went back into this daze, and we ended up about, oh, it might have been 6 miles south of that area. We were on this dark road. I don't remember if we saw it before we got out of the car or once we decided to stop and pull over to look for it, if that's when we saw it, but we saw it coming. Now, at this point, when we saw it this time, it changed. It was just one big, I don't know, ship, and it came over us. We were all standing in the dark, and it came over us, and it stopped, and we're all looking up at it. And this really, really bright blue and white light came down on us. It was so bright, but we could still look at it. And so we were standing in a circle, and I remember looking at my uncle, and he just had this look of just terrified, but he was just like in awe, like look on his face. Okay, I don't remember anything after that until we were another 5 miles south, and we were in the car again, and we woke up, and we were at a dead-end street. I didn't realize where I was until, you know, I kind of looked around and said, oh, this is where I am. So I start driving, and I think we dropped my uncle off, and then we went to another house, and we kind of told some family what we saw. You know, they were just kind of like, oh, okay. After that, you know, my cousin, my uncle, they went back home to Kentucky. So fast forward about maybe 4 years later, my cousin was back in Texas. I said, hey, do you remember that night when you were here and we saw that? And he was so surprised. He said, wait a minute, I remember that, but how could I have not thought about that in all this time? He was so surprised. We called my uncle on the phone, same thing. He was so surprised, like, how could I forget about that? There's no way that I have not thought about this in all these years. So we were trying to talk about it, my cousin and I, and at the same exact time, we got this frequency in our heads. It was almost like somebody had control, you know, of a button. And, you know, it was like, if you don't stop talking about this, I'm going to turn this up. It was a feeling that I've never felt before then. I've never felt it since then. So we had to like separate rooms and just be quiet. We couldn't talk about it. So that was that. And, you know, we did talk about it a little bit, and we all remembered the same exact things. We remember seeing these things to start with. We remember getting in the car. My cousin remembers also looking up to see if it was still there. And then we remember getting out of the car and looking up, you know, at it. Now, a couple years ago, I was thinking about it, and I remembered this thing was massive. It was black, and it was massive. And, it, you know, I remember it just floating over us and stopping, and that light just came down on us. And that's all I remember about it. So that was that first experience.
Did you all experience the frequency?
Me and my cousin did. My uncle, I believe he was still on the phone at the time. He didn't say that he did, but my cousin was standing right in front of me, and it was just like at the same exact time. I grabbed my head in the back, and he grabbed his head in the back, and we looked at each other. We said, oh, we're not supposed to be talking about this, and we had to go in separate rooms and just sit down and, you know, just be still for a little bit, and we came back together, and we haven't talked about it since, I don't think.
And was it painful? Did it give you a headache?
What I would describe it as, it felt like somebody was scratching a chalkboard inside my head. It was kind of like that kind of feel. I'm not going to say it was painful, but I believe that if we wouldn't have stopped talking about it, that it could have been painful. Yeah, but I'm not going to say it was painful, but it was just a strange feeling, something I've never felt since.
Interesting. Okay, do you want to move on to your second encounter, please, Monica?
So my cousin was back in Texas because his sister was finishing high school. So this was summer, June of 98. We were back at the same house where, you know, we had the first encounter. And they mentioned that my aunt, I think one of her friends said that they had been seeing something in the sky and they would be back that night. So we went out in the backyard, same type of night. It was clear. It was a dark sky. So we were, you know, just out there, and within a few minutes we saw something. It was just like a light, a bright light, and it was just changing colors. It was moving, you know, green, yellow, orange, just all kind of colors. And I decided to ask it, you know, without telling anybody else, to, you know, do certain things. And everything I was asking it to do, it did. I would tell it, move to the left and turn green, go to the right and turn red. And I say, okay, now I want you to turn off. It went off. And so basically everything I, you know, told it to do, it did it. So we probably watched it about 30 minutes and we thought it was gone. And then all of a sudden we see something coming towards us and we couldn't tell what it was until it veered off to its right and it would have been our left. And it was a triangle, like a matte colored triangle. I'm not going to say it was huge. It was probably, if you can like imagine a one-story house about 1,000 square feet. It wasn't too big, but it was just a matte colored black triangle. And I think it had a light on it, and it was low, maybe 100 feet in the air. And it just floated over us and it just left. You know, that was it. But whatever it was, it definitely could read my thoughts and it heard me. It read my mind. It could hear me. And it just kind of gave off a, you know, a strange feeling. Yeah, so that was a triangle, just...
It's like following your commands.
Oh, yeah. That's exactly what it did.
It's definitely trying to connect, it would seem, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But you said about 100 feet.
I would say, yeah, it wasn't far up. I'm going to say no more than like a football field away. It was close to us, and it wasn't, you know, far away. I would say maybe it was a block away from us, and maybe 100 to 200 feet in the sky. It wasn't up high at all.
What about size? Could you grasp the size of the object?
Well, you know, like I said, if you can imagine a one-story house that's about, well, I'm going to say more than 1,000 square feet, maybe about 2,000 square feet, a house. It wasn't huge.
Okay. All right. Still quite a size, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It wasn't small, but it just wasn't really big. So I believe this was late December 2010. I was sitting at home, and this was back in Texas. I was sitting in my den, And outside of my den, there's another room with this big window. It was, you know, it was already dark. It was just getting dark. And my husband walks in and he points to a light in the sky. He said, "What is that?" I said, "Oh, it's probably just a planet. It just got dark. And those are the first things, you know, they usually come out." So he said, "Oh," and he walked back in, you know, to the other room. Maybe 10 minutes later, he comes back again. He goes, "No, what is that?" And I got up and I said, "You're right. That is something. That's not a planet. It's not a star." So one of my cousins that was with me at the second experience, I called her and she was in downtown Austin. I said, "Hey, there's something in the sky." She saw it from downtown and she says, "I'm headed home. Meet me there." So I get in my car, you know, about 10 minutes later, and I'm heading towards her house. I'm going west on the toll road. As I'm driving, I'm going west. So whatever this was coming north. I see this bright light. It was really low, maybe a couple hundred feet up, coming towards the toll road. And I had pretty much forgot about it because I thought that something was about to crash on the toll road because this bright light was moving slow and low. And I said, "There's something about to crash." And I was either on the phone with my brother or my cousin. I don't remember right now who I was talking to. But, you know, as I was driving up the toll road, like I said, this thing was coming to the side. And as soon as it got to the side of the toll road, it just fell out of the sky. This bright light just whoosh, it fell out and disappeared. So I keep driving. I get to the top of the toll road where I'm going to go north to get to her house. And I see these three bright objects up in the sky. I said, "Okay, that's them." So I drive, you know, I get to her house. And then, you know, basically we're outside and we see these three objects, you know, high up in the sky. It's just like three points of light. And that's when I took those pictures that I sent you. And that's pretty much how that ended. But the strange thing about this encounter is for weeks, I'm going to say about 10 to 14 days after that, I felt like I was split in half. That's just kind of hard to explain. I didn't feel as if my entire self was with me. I felt like I was somewhere else. And she said she felt the same. It was just a strange feeling. You know, I was still able to function, but there was something going on. I don't know what it was. But she said she felt the same way. So that was that experience. I don't think there was anything else to add to that one.
How long were you feeling this way?
Oh, about a good 10 days at least.
You didn't feel your whole self?
Felt like I was in two places at once. I don't know how to describe it. It was just kind of felt like in a daze. I just felt strange. And my cousin said the same thing. You know, we couldn't put our finger on. It was just, I felt so strange.
Okay. And the three objects that you saw, were they flying in like a formation or were they no particular pattern?
They were in a triangular pattern in the sky, but they were kind of far away from each other. They were definitely together. You know, I could tell that they weren't stars and they weren't, you know, anything else. They were, you know, they just looked the same and they were kind of spread out, but we definitely knew what they were. And she was at her house when I saw that bright light coming towards the toll road. So she saw it and she saw it drop and disappear. And there were other people on the toll road. This might have been, I don't know, 8 o'clock. And other people were there, so I know other people had to see it. I wasn't the only person on the toll road, so I know somebody else had to see it.
Did you ever report it?
I called, I think after this encounter, I called MUFON, and, you know, we didn't connect. Somebody did call me back. They emailed me back. And he happened to call me I waited a little while. He happened to call me back on Easter Sunday, and I just missed him, and we never connected. But I want to say I reported on there's like a National
Reporting Center.
I think I put it on there. I'm pretty sure I did.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, we should definitely have a look on there, see if there's anything very similar in that area, you know, on those dates. Yeah, I like the National Reporting Center. Refer to that one quite a lot. Now, you were heading west, and this object was approaching from the west.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of just dipped down out of sight.
Yeah, you know, it was almost in the same, because the window I was looking out of faced west. You know, it's almost like it was in that same spot and it just came, you know, a little bit further north and kind of met me on the toll road. And it was, you know, like I said, it was just this bright light. I really thought something was about crash on the toll road. I didn't know what it was, but I didn't see like any red lights or green lights. It was just a really bright light. I didn't hear anything. I didn't see anything but that light. And it just kind of came slowly. It might have been moving, if I had to guess, maybe 15 miles an hour. Because I watched it, you know, as I was driving west, I watched it for at least 3 or 4 miles. Now, the speed limit on that toll road is like 75 or 80. So, you know, I was, you know, pretty fast. So I was probably watching it for a total of maybe like 2 minutes. It just, like I said, just came towards and it just got to the edge of the toll road and it just completely dropped out of the sky and disappeared.
And you did send me a couple of pictures as well of the your objects that you saw. So what I'll do is I'll put them in the show notes with this episode so people can go and have a look. Very unusual.
Okay.
So you definitely got something there, Monica. I'm not sure what, though.
Yeah, and I didn't, like I was saying, I didn't actually see, you know, what's in those pictures. We just took pictures of the lights, and that's what came out.
Okay. You also have some paranormal events to share.
Yeah, this is the strangest thing out of anything, you know, even after seeing the things I just told you about. This was in Cincinnati when I was a kid. A friend of mine, we were you know, just hanging out in the summertime. It was August. I remember that. It was August. We were in a building that I lived in, back in the back of the main lobby. And the elevators were usually on our right-hand side going down. You know, we had been down this hall a million times. So we're walking down the hall. First elevators on the right-hand side where it's supposed to be. We get down to the end of the hall and everything is totally switched around. That second the second one that should have been on the right is now on the left. There's no way possible that the elevator could have been on the left because that is just a wall. And then you have the outside world. There's usually a door to get out there, but now there's an elevator. So we stopped in front of the elevator. We looked at each other, didn't say a word. And we shot back down the hallway. Now, to this day, I always think about this. I'm thinking, what if I would have pressed that button and we would have got on the elevator? You know, would that have even been possible? And what would have happened? But yeah, everything was just switched around.
Very unusual.
Oh, yeah. Like I said, that is the strangest thing. You know, out of all the things I've experienced and seen, that is the strangest thing. Because, you know, you know, of course, we were young kids. We weren't drinking or doing anything like that. You know, we had clear minds and we weren't expecting anything. We just walked up on it. Everything, just the world as we knew it was just completely switched around. And, you know, I have no idea what that was.
How long did you live there for?
Couple of years. This was when I don't remember exactly when we moved in there, but it was within that first year of living there. So, you know, I knew about the building. We were familiar with the building. Like I said, we had been down that hall so many times. And so when we got out to the end of the hall, we knew immediately that something was wrong. We were looking for a door to, you know, there was supposed to be a door there to go out. And there wasn't a door. The elevator was there. If I remember correctly, the door was on the other side. So that everything was just switched around. Instead of going through the door, of course, we just ran back the other way.
Couldn't have been where those elevators that have the double doors or anything like that.
Oh, no. I'm 1,000% positive that it was just switched around. And, you know, like I said, that elevator could not have physically been on that wall, you know, because it, first of all, wasn't even thick enough. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just brick and I guess plywood or whatever. And then it goes to the outside. There was only thick enough for a door to be there. There's no way an elevator could have fit on that wall. There's just no way. And it definitely was not there. It wasn't there.
And was it an old building?
Well, from what I remember, and I think I sent you the address to that building. I think it was built in maybe 1924. It's just like a condo. It's about 10 or 11 stories.
Yeah, Rose Hill Ave, Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, because there's a lot of buildings out there that can, you know, have a strange history.
Mm-hmm.
Accounts where people have been in buildings and they've walked onto a floor and it's not the way it was when they first entered. Old furniture and everything's changed. And I've never heard that where it's completely the opposite.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, over the years, it's been a while, but over the years, I would have dreams about going down those steps and just thinking I was going to encounter something. It was just like just a weird feeling, you know, in those dreams. And that the stairs where I've dreamt about were right next to that elevator. You know, it was just strange dreams as well about that building.
Could well have had a history then. I'm sure if I Google it, we will find something.
Yeah. And I remember maybe, I don't know how long after that happened, we went back down and peeked down the hall just to see, you know, if everything was back to the way it was. And it was, but we never went back in that hallway again. Never.
Very unusual. To our listeners out there, if you've ever experienced anything similar to what Monica has just explained, send us an email. Be interested in hearing any other strange experiences like that.
Are you intrigued by Paranormal Talk Radio? You'll love the new Paranormal Radio app from TalkStream Live. You'll find a great selection of talk shows covering UFOs, ghosts, strange phenomena, and much more. Download the Paranormal Radio app now and start listening to the very best in paranormal talk entertainment, including the network you're listening to right now, the Paranormal Radio app, free in Google Play and the iOS App Store.
What do you make of your sightings?
I don't know. I definitely think there's a lot that I don't remember. I really don't know. You know, I don't know if they're all tied together. You know, I'll tell you about another experience that I had around the 1994 experience. I know it was around that time because I lived in the same apartment. I don't know if this happened before or after this experience, but I remember waking up one night and remembering that I had been traveling. You know, maybe my soul or my spirit was traveling at night going to some type of school. I didn't remember it until it was over. It was the last night and I woke up and I've never felt so much peace and love. And I knew that I wasn't going to be going back. You know, and I can kind of remember, you know, the other people I was with. I kind of remember the person that was leading the class. And so, yeah, that happened. And then sometime around that time, close to that happening, I woke up. I was laying in bed and I woke up, and I don't want to say they were monks, but there were beings all around my bed, shoulder to shoulder, looking down at me. I couldn't see their face. I just saw they had on robes that were brown and they had hoods up and they were kind of looking down at me. I don't know if all this is tied in together, but yeah, had a lot of experiences. You know, I've had dreams that have come true. Like, now this has been a while ago, but my mom was looking to buy the house she's living in now, but she didn't tell anybody that she was buying the house. She was just looking. I don't think she had decided to buy it, you know, yet. But I had a dream that I was up above this house. I saw the whole house. I saw the yard. And then I saw in a dream where they took part of her property. And I knew it was my mom's house. So I called my mom. I said, Mom, I said, I had this dream that you were buying this house. I said, there's a fence, you know, in the backyards. There's flowers. There's a pool. And I said, but they took part of your property in the dream. She told me, she says, there is a house that we, you know, are trying to decide to buy. And you've described it to a T. And she said that they were going to expand the road in front of their house and they're going to be taking, you know, a couple hundred feet from their property in a couple of years. And they're still, you know, they're still working on that road today. So, you know, just dreams like that I've had, you know, where I've dreamed of something and like the very next day it happens. So, but here lately, probably the house she lived in before where she lives now, it was just a couple of miles. She had a lot of spirits in that house and, you know, I felt those spirits and kind of told her about it. And she had some of the same things going on that I told her about. I've seen people that I've passed on and, I mean, just all kind of things. Nick, I've had a life full of strange experiences.
Obviously, some of this started up when you were quite young.
Yeah. So the elevator thing, I was like 11 when that happened. I'm actually thinking about finding somebody to kind of take me back and see if I can remember, if I could find somebody to do that. I kind of want to know. And I kind of don't want to know, you know, kind of backing up to that very first experience when I told you that a couple of years ago, you know, I started thinking about the experience. And that's when I really remember how big that craft was. I'm telling you, it was so big. Then I think I kind of remember being in there. Like, I remember it was really hazy, just kind of a bland place. I'm not going to say it was dark. It was just nothing there but like gray. And I kind of remember being floated up and I'm kind of suspended, and there's like a being like standing under me that's really short. I can't describe his face, but I just remember that possibly, I think I kind of connect that to that encounter where I was maybe in the craft. I was listening to something and somebody said, if you've ever had a UFO put their lights on you, you've been, you know, they've taken you. You know, they've pretty much said that's the only reason why they're going to put their lights on you is to take you and, you know, and do whatever. Well, let me tell you about this also, Nick. I remember when I was living back in Austin. I don't remember how many years ago this was or when this happened. But I remember waking up one night and I saw, I'm going to say it was a tall gray, so tall that he had to bend down to walk through my bedroom door. He didn't come all the way in, but he put his hand on the door and he ducked his head in and looked around the door at me. And I think he had on like one of those little train conductor hats. That's how, you know, I saw it. I don't know for sure. But the only reason why I saw him, because I had the guest bathroom was right outside my bedroom and I always kept that light on. I remember, you know, seeing him just, I don't know if I just had an encounter, or maybe he was looking to make sure he put me back in the bed right or what, but I do remember seeing that. And that's probably the only time I remember seeing, you know, any type of gray or, you know, any type of being like that.
Now, you said about the conductor hat.
Mm-hmm.
Quite often the case that people will have an experience like this or see something or a memory, and there'd be something else within that memory which just seems out of place. Now, obviously, the being is out of place, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
The hat is even more out of place because he's wearing the hat.
Mm-hmm. I could just tell that, you know, he had a small head, and I could just tell that his body had to be skinny, and just he was extremely tall. Like I said, he had to duck under my door to even look in there at me. What really let me know that, you know, especially that 1994 experience, or really let me know that happened, was when my cousin and I had that feeling, you know, in our heads. That really said, oh, okay, this happened. This definitely happened. And I think for some reason, you know, they don't want us to talk about it. And why that is, I don't know. I don't know why they wouldn't want us to talk about it. And I wanted to tell you another thing. Whitley Strieber's first book with the alien on the cover.
Communion.
Yeah, Communion. So around the time I experienced that elevator, I've always thought that book came out around that time, because I remember seeing a gray, and I always thought my mom had the book. She did have the book later, but that book came out in the late 80s, I think. And that was, we didn't even live in that building in the late 80s. This was like the, you know, this was around 1981, 82. But I remember seeing a gray in that building. And I always just thought, okay, my mom had the book. But maybe about 10 years ago, I realized that book wasn't even out then. As far as I know, that book was the first time anybody, you know, ever seen a gray like that. It certainly was, you know, but I don't know. It's just strange. I kind of took me aback when I realized that couldn't have been that book because it wasn't out. So I don't know if there was something going on at that time as well.
Yeah, there's plenty of people which have said they've experienced these greys way before that book came out. Even I know the book had a massive impact on people. I hear from people all the time that just seeing the cover, if it doesn't scare someone, it, you know, it brings back emotions. And it's unusual that a book would do that, and particularly obviously the image, the actual grey on there. Is there anyone else in your family which have experienced anything close to this, other than just sightings?
Well, my brother has had some experiences with an owl a couple of years ago. Then his son was dreaming about owls and had, like, you know, just dreams of owls. Like, he was just telling me the other day, he had a dream about an owl that it came down in the fireplace and was watching him. So a lot of things with owls, but my brother does think that he had a visitation one evening a couple of years ago where he felt, he doesn't know if it was graves or what, but he felt like they came and I can't exactly remember what he was telling me. Well, I'll just tell you this other thing really quick. It's not going to take me long.
Yeah, okay.
We live in northern Kentucky in this old Victorian house. This was back in the 70s. And the house was built probably 1865, old Victorian house, three-story. And I was up on the top floor. Me and my brother's bedroom was up on the top floor. Just our bedrooms and a bathroom and a closet in the middle. No, I had a little treehouse toy I would play with. And now this is going to sound crazy, Nick, but this happened. I'm sitting there and all of a sudden this little man comes running through and he looks at me and I look at him shocked that I'm seeing him and he stops for a second and he just shoots off and he runs in the closet. I never see him again. I know that sounds crazy.
Okay. So when you say little man.
Oh, little man, couple inches tall. He was little. Mm-hmm. And his skin was white and dark hair. And he was just running about and he came out of somewhere in my bedroom and he ran across me. He kind of, he didn't stop completely, but he just kind of slowed down his stride as if to say, oh, damn, she sees me. And he took off running and he ran into the closet, never saw him again.
What was he wearing?
Trousers, maybe a white shirt, light colored trousers and no hat or anything. He was tiny. And like I said, couple inches tall. Maybe, I'll say at the most 4 to 5 inches.
You actually just reminded me of someone that contacted me not so long ago. I think it was the Appalachian. And mm-hmm. This guy, it was 1979, and he said he saw what he thought were elves in the woods.
Wait a minute. So that's Kentucky too, right?
Appalachia is quite a large area, but 1979.
And that was about the same year I saw it, was 79. That's when we lived in that house, yep.
As far as I know, this was out in the woods somewhere.
Okay.
And he said there was more than one. Yeah, plenty of accounts of little people.
Mm-hmm.
Said not so long on an episode that all these myths and legends and old stories, because we've got a lot of old stories in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a lot to them.
Mm-hmm. Had a lot of other, I won't say a lot of other experiences, but in that house, I would see a spirit that was like solid, and my mom saw it too, but I didn't know she saw it, the same man, until around 2000. I was here from Texas. My brother was about to get married, and we were having dinner on the river over in Covington. That's where the house was. And I was like, Mom, you know that house we lived in? I would always see this man when I would come home from school. That's why I wouldn't go in the house, because I would get in trouble because I would not go in the house because he was in the house. And I would come home from school and I would look up through the door and I would see him on the last landing up to the top floor and he'd just be looking down at me. So I told my mom, we were sitting, you know, like this was in 2000, like May of 2000. I said, Mom, you know, I never told you about this, but let me tell you. She goes, wait a minute. Let me tell you. I saw him one time before, too. She says he was coming down the stairs to the first floor and I saw him and she described him exactly like I remember him. And she said to him, what in God's name do you want? And he turned and he walked away. He never bothered her again. But I would see this man every single day. He would just scare me.
And he was completely solid.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like a normal person.
Oh, yeah. The first time I saw him, I thought he was my dad because he was a tall man. He was dark skinned. He had thick hair. Now, the hair wasn't the same as my dad's, but he was kind of a, you know, tall man, dark skinned. And he would always wear all black. He would stand there and look down at me from that top landing. And I could see through the door because, you know, it was like a glass door. I'm at the top and I would look up there and he would just look at me with his arms crossed as if to say, don't you dare come in his house. And I wouldn't go in that house. It could be 20 degrees outside and I would stand outside till somebody else came home. And for years, Nick, I would have dreams about that house. I had this same dream over and over again where I was walking up to the front porch and there was a whole lot of people in that bottom floor. And I would smell death. Now, I never smelled a dead person, but I knew what I was smelling was death. It was just so terrible smelling.
Mm, yeah.
they would try to get me to come in. I'm like, no, I can't come in there. I'm not coming in there. And but they were all gathered in that room. And I was wondering if, I think a lot of, like, back in the day, people would have, you know, their services, you know, in the home. But I could just smell the death, you know.
This is why we have rooms and houses called certain things. I think they used to do it in the parlor.
And that's what this room would have been. That's exactly what this room would have been, the parlor, yes.
I can't remember what you call a room where you have the TV and the sofa. What do you call that in America?
Living room, study.
Okay. Yeah, we call, same in the UK, we call them the living room or front room, but generally living room. So if you imagine what that word is, the living room. The living room.
Oh, yeah.
And that's where that comes from. So when you used to keep relatives in the parlor, it was never kept in the living room.
This would definitely have been the parlor, because the living room would have been on the second floor. This was like a room off the front door, you know. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yep.
But yeah, some spirits, you know, they reside in their house where they've probably been for many years. New people move in and they're never too happy.
Yeah. And you know, Covington, I don't know if you're familiar with Covington, Kentucky, but that's the place where a lot of black people will go back in, I guess, 1860s to kind of get away from the South.
Right.
So there were a lot of, if you ever seen that movie, oh, it's an Oprah Winfrey movie. She's in it. It's kind of a scary movie, but it's supposed to be mostly a true story. That's where this is. That's where that movie is kind of situated at. I think it's called Beloved, B-E-L-O-V-E-D, Beloved. If, like, at the very beginning, she's crossing over a river, and that's the Ohio River from Covington to Cincinnati. She's trying to get her baby away from there. But yeah, and if you look up the history of Covington, you'll see that a lot of black people went there. So I did just find it interesting that in this house, you know, it was, the spirit was a black man. And anytime I would have that dream with all those people trying to get me to come in, you know, it was a room full of black people.
Interesting.
But I don't know if they lived in that house at some point, because like I said, it was an old house.
A lot of history probably in that area.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it sure is.
Fascinating.
And that there, that little man I saw was probably the strangest thing I've seen, that I didn't have somebody else with me, because, you know, my mom saw the man. And then with the other things that I told you about, I've always with somebody else.
Sure.
That's really the only time that I saw something like that where I was by myself. So I guess that's kind of why I don't really tell anybody, because it's just really strange.
Very strange. Yeah, I wish that's the good thing about this show, you know, it gives people a chance to, you know, share some of this stuff, which, you know, people wouldn't hear. You know, you wouldn't tell anyone else, would you? Evelyn, your brother, no one else would know this. And I'm sure there's people listening now which have seen very similar things, maybe little people. And, you know, so if you are right there, get in contact. And if the little people are right there, also get in contact.
I think I'm sure they're still around.
I wouldn't surprise me at all.
He was definitely on a mission. Whatever he running through there for, I don't know if he like just popped into this existence accidentally, or where he could have been going, but I felt like he was on a mission. He was like running through there and was just taken aback when he saw me, like, oh my God, she saw me. And he just kind of slowed his stride and just took off again.
It's like up in Iceland where they have laws about where they build roads and stuff. And they respect their folklore. They literally divert roads and go round caves and mountains and stuff to avoid where they believe that these little people live, because it's something which is so ingrained over there.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I reckon there's definitely something in it. You know, for centuries people have been talking about these creatures, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't surprise me if there is a lot of truth to it. So you're very lucky, actually.
Yeah. You know, I wish somebody else saw it as well, because I still to this day have a hard time believing that I saw it. I mean, I know I did, but it's just, you know, very strange, because until my mom told me that she saw the man in the house, I kind of wondered, did I imagine that? But now I know I didn't, because she saw it too. So
it makes you feel better, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like I said, I guarantee it, when this airs, I'll then start getting other people which have seen, you know, little people and stuff. So, so which is always the way, you know, I'll do one episode of something and then someone comes and emails me and says, you know what, my father would talk about things like this. So it's great. It's great because it then just links on to other people. And then, so it's great. Well, Monica, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing all this for our listeners today.
Thank you, Nick. I appreciate you having me on.
It's been wonderful talking to you tonight.
Thank you so much. It was good talking to you. I'm glad we've met, and I'll definitely stay in touch with you.
Yeah, that'd be great. All right, you enjoy the rest of your evening, and I'll talk to you soon, Monica, okay?
Thank you, Nick.
That's all for this week. Keep updated and connected with the show on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And if you have an encounter that you would like to share on the podcast, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com or reach out to me via the contact page on my website at ufochroniclespodcast.com. Big thank you to Bubs and Monica for sharing tonight, and thank you for listening. I will be back on Thursday, so till then, stay safe and keep watching the skies. Goodbye.